Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have looked at this text the last few weeks, and we come to this Psalm 51, and we see David crying out again for the mercy of God, for the restoration, the renewal that only God can give, you'll reflect upon what we read in our scripture reading regarding David's situation before he came to this state of repentance. Before the Holy Spirit dealt with his soul, brought him to repentance, David was a very sick man. He was very sick spiritually because he was one who was holding his sin within him. Now notice, this is an example that's given to us. This is a principle that's taught to us in our scripture reading when he said, when he was silent about his sin, he says, "My bones grew old." It was causing him to age within himself. He could feel the struggle that was going on in his life because this is what sin does. Sin brings sorrow. Sin brings misery in the life of the believer. He continues, he says, "Through my groanings all the day long." Notice the groaning, the aching going on in his soul because of a lack of confession of his sins to the Lord. A lack of restoration. A lack of joy. It seems to me that in his repentance, what he cries out for is a restoring of the things that he had prior as regards his salvation. He's not asking for salvation again. He's asking for all the benefits that come or are attended with salvation. The joy and the peace and the sweet fellowship that he has with the Lord. These are taken from David at this point. He is a miserably sick man. He says, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Again, we rejoice in that as a believer, knowing that God will never let us fall overboard. He will never let the incorruptible seed of regeneration be taken from us, even as the Belgian Confession speaks about the lamentable falls in our life. David had a huge fall in his life with his sin with Bathsheba, and then subsequently the murder of Uriah, a lieutenant in his army, and God is the one who is bringing him to repentance. Don't miss that point. This is what he says, that your hand was heavy upon me. You were driving me to repentance. You were squashing the life out of me, Lord. You were driving me to confess my sins to you. God will not allow you to hide your sin. God will drive his people to repentance. That's a blessing. That's a benefit of being a sheep of Christ's pasture, one of the people of his hands. That he drives his saints to repentance. David said that his vitality was turned into the drought of summer. "I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave." It's important, isn't it? It's important to realize that God is the one who drives his people to repentance. When we sin and when we will not confess, he will send messengers to drive us to repentance. The Lord has done it, and he's done it for his glory and the good of his people. And God forgives, beloved. Oh, we need to know that. We need to hear that continually. Why is it that we don't come to the Lord confessing our sins? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Do you know, beloved, when you do not confess your sins to the Lord, the specific sins in your life, you are denying the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Christ came to redeem us from all of our sin and misery. That we would not have shame before the Lord. That Christ is our covering. Whenever we stand in our own strength, in our own merit, in our own goodness, in our own works, we are in fact denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whenever we do not confess our sins to God and come to him, looking for the forgiveness that he grants, that he restores, and the pleasures evermore that he gives, we are in fact denying the gospel. God forgives, and he forgives because of the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to know. We're all sinful. Every one of us are sinful. Every single person in this room, as redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, is still sinful. We read that in Scripture, don't we? Every saint is at the same time sinful. Yes, we are not condemned, but we are not condemned because Christ was condemned in our place. But that doesn't mean that all the vestiges of sin have been rooted out of us. Nobody in here walks on water. Nobody in here loves the Lord our God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Christ alone has loved His Father in that way. And that's why we are not cast out. That's imputed to us. That's reckoned to us. God treats us as if we have loved Him in this way. Christ alone has. Think about the sin of Noah. Noah is a saint. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He got drunk. He sinned. He sinned against God. He did foolish things when he got drunk. Think about Abraham. Think about Abraham, how he lied, saying that Sarah was his sister. It's his half-sister, but he lied to get out of a consequence that he thought was going to come. Think about how Sarah lied. Sarah's back in the tent, and the Lord tells Abraham, at this time next year, you're going to have a son from your own loins. And Sarah's back there, and she laughs. And the Lord says, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. You didn't laugh. Am I not the Lord God Almighty, the Omniscient One, the One who knows the end from the beginning, who has ordained all things? You surely laughed. And next year at this time, the laugh is going to be on you because you're going to name your son Isaac, which means laughter. Sarah sinned. Abraham sinned. Isaac sinned. Isaac repeated the same sins as his father, lying when it got tough and in a tight situation. We find the 12 sons of Jacob doing the same thing. Jacob lied just as his father Isaac, just as his father, grandfather Abraham. We find the 12 sons of Jacob sinning, casting their, the 11 and casting their brother Joseph into a pit. It goes on and on, beloved. Moses sinned. Aaron sinned. Miriam sinned. David sinned. Paul sinned. Peter sinned. John sinned. We sin. But there is forgiveness with our God. There's forgiveness with Him. Don't keep your sins covered up, because they're in open sight before our God. It's been said that the things that are here that are hidden are open scandal in heaven. God knows our sins, and He grants us that repentance. Be a person who is continually repenting. Now notice our text this morning. Beginning at verse 10, this is David's cry. David's cry and the cry of every believer who has sinned against God. You remember, against you and you only have I sinned and done this wickedness in your sight. David understood that he had sinned against Bathsheba, that he had sinned against Uriah, that he had sinned against the whole nation of Israel, that he had sinned against his army, that he had sinned against all of his family and friends. He understood that, but ultimately what he saw in his mind, in his sight, was his sin against God. That is what grieved him. And he desires that clean heart in his life. Create in me a clean heart. Wash my heart. I know it's sinful. He desires to get rid of it. He wants a renewed spirit within him. And he says this in verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence." David at this point must have been remembering the situation with Saul and how the Holy Spirit was taken from Saul, and Saul was given a demon spirit and went into cursing the Lord, hating God in his life. David doesn't want that to happen to him. He said in Psalm 30, verse 7, "You hid your face and I was troubled." Don't take your presence, Lord, from me. That was the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. It's dwelling in God's favor is what He's speaking about here regarding the presence. That's God's presence, God's favor. That's in Christ, isn't it? That's trusting in the only mediator, Jesus. That's the light of God's good countenance upon us as we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our state, beloved. Right now, in the presence of God, in Jesus Christ, we are under God's favor. And David recognizes that blessedness. He recognizes the favor of God. He says in Psalm 31, "Make your face shine upon your servant. Your goodness, Lord. Make it shine upon me." It enlightens my soul. It gives me rejoicing and gladness of heart. I mean, David wrote the Psalms that he did because he knew he was in the presence of God, because he knew of the light of God's countenance upon him. What's the alternative? It's contrary to the Aaronic blessing, that benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord curse you and cast you away. You were either one or the other. You were either brought under the favor and blessing of God, or you are cast away. You're either in His presence, in His goodness, or you're under His wrath and curse. Didn't we see that in the canons of Dort this morning? David does not want to be out of the presence of God. He's fearful of that. He's fearful of being cast away. We have a greater revelation as we have the new covenant. David didn't have the revelation that we have today. He didn't know the mediator's name was going to be Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He was trusting in the mediator that God had given. He knew that God would save His people. But we have a further revelation given to us, which is a great blessing in our time, in our day and age, in the New Covenant Church. We know that, as Peter said, there is an incorruptible seed, that the Spirit of God will never be taken from the saints. We see that, don't we? Peter makes very clear that that seed will never be taken. We will never be regenerated to be unregenerated. David is crying out with a believing heart, knowing the blessings of God's presence, and he doesn't want that taken from him. Cast me not away from your presence. It's interesting that he writes what he does, because he also wrote Psalm 139, and he says, "Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend to the heights of heaven, you are there. If I descend to Sheol, you are there also. Where can I go from your spirit?" So, you know, as I said, what he is speaking about here is being in the goodness of God, being in the favor and the pleasure of God, because in the Lord there are pleasures evermore. You know, Martin Luther spoke about this. He spoke about the dark night of the soul. When God's fatherly countenance seemed to be removed from him, how would you respond, beloved? You sin a great sin, and it seems as if God is silent to you. Your prayer life is almost non-existent. You have no joy. You have no peace. There's simply murmuring and complaining and a crushing that goes down in your life. How would you respond? David is lamenting this dark night of the soul. He wants to be rid of this dark night of the soul. He wants God's fatherly presence upon him. And so he says, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." It's the Holy Spirit that provides the light of God's countenance, doesn't it? It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Think about the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about the ministry of the Spirit of God within the life of the believer. It's the Spirit of God who regenerates us. And as He regenerates our souls, it's the seed that remains in us. 1 John 3:9. We also know that John 5, if we hear His word and believe in Him who sent me, we have everlasting life and we will never more come under condemnation. We have passed from death to life. It can never be taken from us. We know that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 8. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He regenerates our soul. He gives us new life. He causes us to believe on the object of faith. He creates that faith for us to look unto Jesus. This is the very instrument that God has given for the salvation of sinners, Jesus Christ. You know that from John 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so Jesus Christ is lifted up. The only way to be saved in the wilderness from the snake bite was looking to the instrument that God gave. The only way to be saved from your sin is to be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It's the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit illumines our minds to the truth. He's the one who teaches us the Word of God. He opens up our understanding that we would understand the Word of the true and living God. That's the illuminating work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the sanctifier. He conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ, that we would think God's thoughts after Him, that we'd be filled with the knowledge of the truth, that we'd be a people that would more and more be renewed in our mind by the Spirit and the Word. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit and sanctification. And an aspect of that is our holiness. Set apart more and more unto worship of the true and living God in all of our words and works. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David wasn't sure if that was a possibility or not. He saw what happened to Saul. So he's crying out as one who is regenerate, "Don't do that, Lord. Don't take the Spirit from me." It's the Spirit's work that causes us to walk in obedience. He gives us assurance of our salvation. You know, Romans 8, the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, how does He do that, beloved? Through the very Word that He implants into our souls. If you're lacking the assurance of your salvation, if you're lacking that, this is not rocket science here. It's because you're not exercising the means of grace that God has given by which He assures our hearts that we are His children. That is His Word. If you're not in His Word, you're not going to have an assurance of salvation. You're going to have a lack of assurance of salvation. And then you might even get to the point where you say that you can lose your salvation. Which is an impossibility. But that's what happens when you're not being informed by the Word. And there's always one of two things ever always going on. You are being transformed by the renewing of your mind, or you are being conformed to the ways of this world. What's your speech sound like? If you took an inventory of your words this past week, what's it sound like? If you could replay the message of your words from last Sunday till this Sunday, how many words would be edifying, glorifying to the Lord? How many would be due His holy name? How many would be worshipful? You see, we need to be in the Word of God. And so David prays for that ministry of the Holy Spirit, the conviction. And it's the repentance that the Holy Spirit gives. The Holy Spirit, as we know from the New Testament, will never be taken from a believer. He creates, regenerates new life within the believer. And He regenerates new life within you and raises you up spiritually and gives you new desires, a new disposition of the mind. Your will has been changed. You have been liberated to do the will of God. You delight to do the will of God. You rejoice in the will of God. It is your meat and your drink as you are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that will never be taken away from you. If you are regenerated, you are a sheep of His pasture. You are one of the people of His hand, and you will never be cast away from our God. Thus saith the Lord. That's your confidence, beloved. That's where you look to. And so, don't put yourself in that situation by neglecting to repent of your sins. You know, the Catechism speaks about that. Conversion is a continual thing, isn't it? It's a dying of the old and a making alive of the new continually. This happens continually. It's a covenant renewal that we do. As we saw that in Sunday school this morning, we are continually confessing our faith in the Lord. We are continually looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And David says in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." He doesn't say, "Give me back my salvation." He says, "Lord, give me back my joy." Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Again, notice the interconnectedness with the work of the Holy Spirit in the sanctification of the life of the believer and the joy that happens in your life. How's your joy level? If you had a meter that can measure the joy in your life, that deep-seated joy that responds to the salvation of our God, that delight that wells up in the soul of a believer who has been redeemed by the power of God. That even though you go through the trials and troubles of life, you have the deep-seated joy. You know, the world is messed up with what's called happiness. Happiness has to do with your happenstance. The things that happen to you in life. You win the lottery. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. Till you lose it all. Then you're sad and miserable as you truly are. It's just a facade. That's no joy. Joy is deep-seated in the believer, produced by the Holy Spirit, that gives confidence in our God, that knowing that nothing can ever separate us from the love of Christ. It's knowing that all of our sins have been forgiven. How can you respond this morning knowing that you have been forgiven by the Lord? God has cast all your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against you again. If that was taken from you, we'd be of all men most miserable, wouldn't we? The assurance that our sins have been cast from us. And so David, he's in this situation. He's really struggling with a lack of joy. If you read Psalm 51, notice all the things that David prays for that he no longer is a possession actively, experientially in his life. The joy, the peace, the reconciliation, the being restored and renewed, that delight to worship, to go up to the house of the Lord. All of that has been removed from him. That's the hand of the Lord pressing down upon him. The dark night of the soul. He's crying out for this. Lord, give me that joy back. I know the joy of the Lord and the salvation of my soul, the redemption that is in the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Do you know that, beloved, this morning? Do you know the joy of your salvation? Do you know the joy of all of your sins having been dealt with once for all time in Jesus Christ? You kids, are you looking to Jesus? Is your hope in Him? Not are you looking to your parents as they look to Jesus. Are you looking to Jesus? There's no other joy. There is no other peace. There is no other reconciliation. There is no forgiveness of sins except in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to come to the Father, it's not through your mom and dad, it's through Jesus. You must come. Do you know this joy of looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ? David is teaching us something here. The Holy Spirit is teaching us something through David's life here. David pens this, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exactly what the Spirit of God would have him write. And we need to know there is joy in the Lord. There is love in His Spirit. There is hope in the knowledge of Him. Are you rejoicing in that, beloved? Restore to me the joy. Bring it back. Uphold me by Your generous Spirit, Your willing Spirit. You know, the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, isn't it? And David wants that ministry of the Spirit in his life. You know, you taste and see that the Lord is gracious, that the Lord is good. And when you've tasted that the Lord is good, you know everything else is foul. You know that nothing is like the goodness of God. Nothing is like the joy that He gives. Nothing is like the ministry of the Spirit who teaches us to look to Jesus, who guides us, who directs us to look unto Jesus. When the Holy Spirit does this work, He restores us, He renews us, and He causes us, notice lastly, to rejoice, to teach transgressors. You see how this works is that when we sin, there is chastening from God. When we repent, there's restoration, there's joy, there's peace, there's the blessing of sweet fellowship. And then there is a holy response to go out and teach others likewise. God forgives. God is just. And His justice demands that sin, which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God, be punished with extreme. But God is likewise merciful. God forgives. And that's what sinners need to know. Repent and believe on Jesus Christ, or suffer the wrath of God against your sins. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Sin destroys the joy. It destroys the health of our life. It destroys wealth. It destroys life itself. Think about lives that are ruined because of sin. Lives of believers that are ruined because we will not come to the Lord and confess. This is the heart of the believer, to teach transgressors, to be an evangelizer. David is teaching us right here. David taught his son Solomon. David taught his son to run to the Lord. Solomon taught his sons and his daughters through the Proverbs. Think about all the teaching that happens in the Proverbs about running to God, finding forgiveness. Thinking about all the parallels that if you are this way, this is going to happen to you. If you are this way, this is going to happen to you. And so this is the believer teaching transgressors, those who violate the principles of God. How do you respond to transgressors? How do you respond to people who know not the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you look down your nose at them as if you never have committed sin in your life? Or do you take pity upon those who know not the Lord? Now, you know, this time of the year, not my favorite time of the year, when the college returns and all the noise and the racket and the kids doing the things that they do, staying out all night, drinking, partying, getting drunk, doing the screaming and yelling and walking down the street at all hours of the night. How else do pagans act? Is it something that is abominable? Yes. Is it displeasing to the Lord? Yes. How does an unregenerate individual act? Why is it the church wants the unregenerate to act like they're regenerate? It's an impossibility. They hate God and they hate their neighbor. So we need to go out and we need to evangelize. We need to bring the gospel to the transgressors, those that are violating the commandments of God. And if you've been redeemed, beloved, if you've been restored after you have been sinned in a grievous sin, a lamentable sin, if you've fallen in your life, what you do then, in love, in mercy, is to go out and teach others to run to the Lord. There is forgiveness with Him. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have no hope apart from that. If I don't have Christ to run to, I have absolutely no hope in my life. He is all my hope. He is all my faith. He is my song. He is my rock, my Redeemer. And yours too, beloved. There's no other place to go to find full and free forgiveness but in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you running to Him? Are you looking to Him? David says, this is what the godly do. When they sin, they look unto the Lord. Don't hold it in. God will squash it out of you. He will bring you to repentance. That's like the child who lies about something in the life, and the parents, you give them ample opportunity to repent, and they will not repent. And you bring out the rod, and you drive it from them. That is good for their soul. That's the thing that they are. You are required to do for them because you love them. In the same manner God loves us, He restores us the joy of our salvation. That happens if you have love in your soul. You teach transgressors the way. You call them to look unto Jesus. You tell your brothers and sisters who are in sin to repent and look to Him, and find the fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Find the goodness of the Lord. Be restored with that joy and peace in the light of God's fatherly countenance. He hasn't abandoned you, beloved. He will never abandon His people. But He sure can turn off the lights at times, can He? When we are hardened in our sin. David says, sinners are converted when you teach them. recognize the hand of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, but the fact that God will not let us run headlong in our sin. He will, in His fatherly goodness, even when we go through the dark night of the soul, He will bring us to repentance. That is a reciprocal. We turn and we rejoice in our joy and peace and thanksgiving to Him. And we tell others, believe on the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. Shall we pray?